neighbors. Welcome back to The Bigger Picture, the show that asks the big, big questions about the world we live in. I am Timothy Spangler. That music, Phil, that music, Dave, takes me back.
Yeah, takes me back. I'm just maybe for the first time in my life noticing the Cuban beat behind all
of that. Oh, absolutely.
That's what it was, of course.
That Friends and Neighbors, is the theme tune for perhaps the greatest sitcom that has ever been done. It's the I Love Lucy. I hear that song. I know exactly when and where I am.
Uh-huh.
It's 9 a.m. in the morning. I'm watching Channel 11, and I got two episodes back to back of I Love Lucy that I can look forward to watching too. And I know, like, the sun comes up tomorrow, there are going to be two more episodes. And maybe they'll be in Europe, or maybe they'll be living out in the house in Connecticut, but I live their life.
You can't be sure the sun's come up unless I Love Lucy is on.
Unless it's out there. And the reason we're talking about this, Friends and Neighbors, is because our featured guest is week is a credible individual who has a lot of first-hand knowledge about this work of art. We're joined as our featured guest this week by Greg Oppenheimer. Greg, how are you this fine evening?
Fine, how are you? Glad to be
here. Really good, really good. Now you just got to lay your credentials out at the start of an interview like this. Why did you develop such a close, deep, abiding interest in I Love Lucy?
Well, my father was Jess Oppenheimer, who was the creator, producer, and head writer of I Love Lucy.
There you go. Wow. So you were there on the day. You were there when it was happening. You were able to interact with it in a really direct and personal way, I guess.
Yeah, I was not on the writing staff. I was
no.
Kid.
I know. But you would have been. You got the firsthand stories be able to meet the stars and have all those anecdotes. Did you know then that it was something special that your father was working on? That this celebrity that you met, Lucille Ball, that she was going to be this really towering figure, where you just thought it was funny and your dad had a cool job and it was great to be involved in it. When did you start getting the sense of the scale of what had happened?
Not till I was a little older. I met her when I was four for the first time, I knew that children under 12 were not supposed to be there, and that I was almost as excited about that as meeting Lucy. But I loved the show even at that age, and I just thought it was wonderful. My dad, I think, knew that it was going to be as big as it was because Lucy and Desi sold their interest to CBS in 1956, and they tried to buy my dad as well, and because he had an interest in the show,
right?
And he said, "No, I'll let it ride."
Now, remind us what years did I Love Lucy run?
It started in 1951, and the half-hour shows ended in 1957. Then they did 13 one-hour specials between then and 1960, and then that was over.
Huh. And those one-hour specials, were they the actual show, or were they entertainment pieces?
No, it was the show. It was Lucy Desi Comedy Hours.
I remember that.
And then there were at least a couple of movies.
Yeah, but they were an I Love Lucy movie. Well, there was one I Love Lucy movie, but it was never released.
Okay.
Because then they made a deal. They put three episodes together and they did some additional scenes. They had a movie and it was in the can. Then they made a deal for, I think, the long trailer.
Right.
Yeah, that's the one we're thinking about.
That's not Lucy and Desi. That's like.
No, they changed the name.
Two different characters. Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
And MGM said, "We don't want competition. Put that away." And it was lost for many years.
Now, I've got to ask you, there's so many things that you can look to I Love Lucy and see that it really did shape, it really did drive what we now know as situation comedies. Can you give us, kind of our listeners, just kind of a list of the things that the show did kind of first, why it was technically such a trailblazing show?
Well, a lot of shows the big shows were done live back then, and most of them from New York, live broadcast. I Love Lucy was the first comedy that was done in front of an audience with three moving film cameras, and so the quality was good enough so that you could do reruns. And so the rerun was invented by I Love Lucy, and the technology to allow the rerun was invented by I Love Lucy. The first flashback show they did because of her pregnancy, continuing story arc, it was something they had to do because Lucy got pregnant unexpectedly in the second season. All sorts of innovations. I think the first process shot was on I Love actually.
And it's lived again and again and again in reruns. I've watched every episode several times.
We grew up with the reruns.
In like the late 70s, early 80s, it's just continued on. This black and white show of these people who sleep in twin beds and live in an apartment building and have a Fred and Edsel Mertz down the hallway.
Now what I always got a kick out of in all these sitcoms is the wacky next door neighbor, which in this case was Fred and Ethel Mertz. Now, is it true that that William Frawley and Vivian Vance really didn't like each other much?
They got off to a bad start. They actually were okay at first, but then he was like 22, 23 years older than mm-hmm. Vivian. She was complaining to her friends that how could people believe that I was married to that old man?
Right.
And he came by and he overheard it once, and he was very hurt by it. And from then on, he just wanted nothing to do with her. Well, they were so professional; it never affected their performances.
Hmm. Well, wasn't she? She was much more of a sort of a trained actress. He was sort of a vaudevillian sort of much. I mean, wasn't there like a differential in like she didn't take him seriously?
I don't know about that, because he was in a lot of great movies. I mean, one of my favorites is Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, absolutely.
And
he was a judge in that, wasn't he?
He was the judge's campaign manager.
That's right. That's right.
And he was just wonderful in that. He was in a bunch of movies. One of the songs that they sang on the song on the show, Vivian Vance and Bill Frawley, was Nothing Could Be Finer Than to Be in Caroline in the Morning.
Right.
Bill Frawley introduced that song in vaudeville in 1915.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And when my dad hired Fred and Ethel, these actors for Fred and Ethel, he had no idea that they could sing and dance.
Right.
Wow. It was just he came to them sheepishly a few weeks after that and said, "We've got a script that involves a little, a song and dance number. You think you could handle it?" And they were really miffed that he didn't know about their illustrious careers in the theater.
Now I've got to ask you, how do you keep the legacy? How do you keep the story of I Love Lucy alive for people of this generation now who don't watch it with the regularity that we did in our generation when it was running 5 days a week on Channel 11 KTLA here in Southern California? How do you make it vivid and live for them?
I produced the DVD series, but the thing I'm doing now is I wrote a play called I Love Lucy, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Sitcom.
Oh, wow.
And it's the story of how it got started, because they had terrible battles with the network to get it on the air. They didn't want to use Desi, and then they didn't want to let her have the baby on the TV, but the story behind the show is almost as funny as the show itself. So we're going to do that July 12th to 15th. It opens at UCLA.
Oh, fantastic.
James Bridges Theater for LA Theater Works is doing it.
You said they didn't want to use Desi. I part of the reason I asked you when the years that it ran was because he was Cuban. And
yes.
I guess a little later, it was sort of a political issue to have a Cuban on TV, but not in the 50s. What was their problem with
they
Desi
wanted to
Arnaz?
Have a well, he she had a sort of a all American type guy. Richard Denning was her radio husband on her radio sitcom for CBS, and they wanted to take the two of them to TV. And she said, "Oh, if I'm going to go to TV, it's going to be with my husband." And they said, "Oh, nobody will ever believe that you're married to him, that he's your husband." She said, "But he is my husband."
Right, right.
And she said, "Either you've used Desi, or I'm going to go on the road with his band."
Right.
And they still wouldn't do it until if NBC made him an offer. And that did the trick, and they weren't about to lose Lucy, because she was a very successful comedy star for them. Not nearly as big as she became on TV.
Yeah.
So Desi at the time, before the show, was what he was on the show. He was a band leader.
Cuban band leader.
Who had a club in New York, and he went on tour.
Right. He toured with his band most of the time. He had some records they were selling. And he had also been in a show called Too Many Girls on Broadway. And then they made the movie, which wasn't very successful, but Lucy co-starred in the movie, and that's how they met. in 1940.
Oh, wow.
It was so interesting that he was, you know, this guy from Cuba and didn't get things, couldn't pronounce things, and it totally worked. It's funny they didn't want
to
use
it. So how many episodes did they do? I was trying to remember, trying to guess in my mind how many seasons it ran and how many episodes. How much I Love Lucy do we actually have?
There's like 180 episodes.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's a lot to have seen 12 of each one of them, isn't it, Tim?
Yeah, now they do a show with 15 writers on the staff, and they do 22 shows a year.
Yeah.
And back then, there was my dad and Bob Carroll Jr. and Madeline Pugh, and just the three of them wrote 40 shows in the first 40 weeks.
Wow.
One thing I can't believe they wouldn't use Desi, because, you know, music was such an integral part of that show through the whole show. I mean, I loved that.
And she always wanted to get on stage, and he'd never let her. She was no good.
Multi-ethnic stars was not a big thing in the early
days. I was going to ask you about that. If they had a problem in, like, the early 1950s, was it as simple as that? It was the fact that, well, he's Latino, and we're not going to have...
I think so.
Yeah. That kind of ethnic mix on our prime time.
One thing that I noticed, even watching reruns as a kid, is that there were two old shows that, I mean, from my point of view, that were in reruns. There was The Honeymooners and I Love Lucy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I Love Lucy, like, compared to The Honeymooners, was like massively better quality.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
The Honeymooners was like the walls were shaking. Everything.
Yeah.
There were shadows on the walls. It was like really low production quality. What accounts for that?
They had, the director of photography was Carl Freund, who was an Oscar winner for Camille, Dracula, The Good Earth, you know, all these wonderful movies. And they, because of the technological issues, the challenge, they managed to talk him into, mostly Desi talked him into coming to work for them on I Love Lucy, to see if anybody could do it with the three cameras. And it was he invented the whole lighting system that they still use today. It's called flat lighting, that allows them to move cameras around and everything. The lighting still works, because normally in a movie they light for every shot.
Yeah,
right. And they had multiple rooms. There was a bedroom, there was a kitchen, there was a living room.
Right.
I mean, The Honeymooners was all like one room.
Yeah.
The production quality is amazing. They had shots of the ceiling sometimes, which is, Citizen Kane did, but they also did I Love Lucy.
Fascinating. I got to ask you, Greg, can you give our listeners just one more time information about the play, when, where, how to buy tickets and go and see it?
They can get all the information and tickets at LATW.org. It's LATW.org. It's just LA Theater Works. And it's July 12th through 15th at UCLA's James Bridges Theater. Five performances. It stars Sarah Drew from Grey's Anatomy as Lucy, Oscar Nunez from The Office as Desi, and Seamus Dever from Castle as my father.
Fantastic, fantastic. Thank you so much, Greg Oppenheimer, playwright, historian of the great show I Love Lucy. Thank you so much for being on The Bigger Picture. Friends and Neighbors, we're going to take a short commercial break. We'll be back to you in just 2 minutes' time.